my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me the hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey friends, welcome to episode 245 of my 1-2-3 cents, the podcast. And as I've talked about and I've tweeted and I've mentioned it on the my 1-2-3 cents Facebook page, this is the last episode before the reboot, the relaunch with very specific shows and guest co-hosts. So this is going to be the last, hopefully, let's knock on some wood here. Hopefully this is the last time that you will hear just my voice as a part of this podcast, but I will continue to, of course, have the blog, and I'm hoping to be able to spend a little more time dedicated to the blog and to the other forms of social media, including the YouTube channel, which right now is usually just Go Figure Friday popping up every Friday. And then there's a snippet from my recent interview with Aleister Black, which is actually going to be at the end of this episode. I'll play the entire interview. I did cut out the portion where he promotes the WWE live event because it has already happened by the time you are listening to this podcast. And here's the thing. You will note that the interview with Aleister Black is short. And that is because when WWE books these interviews, they obviously have their talent talking to several different radio stations, TV stations. I was very fortunate because I used to get these interviews set up through the TV station where I once worked. Now I have friends in the right places and was able to get this one set up for the podcast. And then I also, of course, distributed it through the YouTube channel as well as a couple of different forms of Facebook. So I am appreciative to have had the opportunity to talk to him. And we didn't obviously just talk about the show. They, you know, when I picked up the phone, the person who does the arrangements, I suppose, for lack of a better word, said you have 7 to 10 minutes. So part of that, of course, is establishing the show. Why should fans come out? And then we got to talk a little bit more in depth to Aleister Black, which I was very fascinated with. I had never seen much of, interview-wise from him or heard much about him. So we talk about his tattoos and we talk about his entrance, his unique ring entrance, and, having that WrestleMania moment so early on in his WWE career after being called up from the NXT roster. So stay tuned at the very end of this. This is an Ask My 1-2-3 Cents, so we'll get into some questions in just a minute or two. I do want to tell you, though, if you want to be a guest co-host on one of the shows, I'm breaking it down into four different monthly topics. Two is greater than one. My co-host, my permanent co-host for that will be Heath Hatton of Stride Pro Wrestling. I'm going to be doing a What If episode, and the second week of August will be What If Chris Jericho Had Not Gone to the WWE in August of 1999. Since it's the 20-year anniversary, I kind of want to play out and talk with Chad. Chad's going to join me on that episode, and we're going to talk about maybe what would have happened, and eventually Jericho would have obviously made it to the WWE, I think, but we'll talk more in depth about how WCW, how it was a game changer for WWE. Was it a game changer? I want to hear your input as well. So what do you think? What if Chris Jericho had not gone to WWE in 1999. Let me know over on the My 1-2-3 Cents Facebook page. The third Monday of each month will be dedicated to Wrestling Under the Influence. I'll sit down with a fan of wrestling and craft beer, and we will, or an adult beverage, doesn't have to be craft beer, and we'll tie it in with a former wrestler, current wrestler, storyline, angle, whatever it may be. So I'm looking forward to doing more episodes of that. I've already got a couple of interested parties for that those episodes, so those will be fun to do, no doubt about it. And then we'll wrap each month up with wrestling in the wrestling with the 80s, so we'll talk more about an angle, a storyline, something specific to the 1980s. So I'm looking forward to all those. And again, if you want to guest co-host any of those, let me know and we'll try to make arrangements, whether we meet in person or do it over the phone or Skype. We can make all that happen. Of course, there are several other great shows on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, and I actually got the idea to break my 1-2-3 cents up into four different segments from my buddy Chad Smart, who is the host of Positive Cynicism. He does the same thing with Positive Cynicism each month. Each week, there's a different topic for that particular week. And then on weeks with our months rather with 5 weeks, it's a wild card episode, so mine will be very similar to that, and maybe we'll double up on wrestling under the influence. I don't know, we'll have to wait and see how that goes when we have a 5 Monday month the next time around. Also, of course, Greg Mahochko has Nerds United with Mike Luther, and also Greg hosts or co-hosts a show called Five Heart, which is all about Nebraska Cornhusker athletics, and football season is getting underway, so things are sure to heat up with the discussion going on over there. Again, you can find all of these shows on any podcast listening app. We are all now officially on Spotify as well, but the easiest way to go is to jitterymonkey.com, and while you're there, you can see all the archived shows, all the back episodes, as well as the Jittery Monkey store, and lots of different merchandise, swag out there. So if you are so inclined, do a little shopping and support this podcast, because the three of us, or the four of us, are way too boring to put together Patreon. So you don't want to see us sitting. I'm actually sitting in my closet. My studio is my closet at my house, where I record the solo episodes or the intros for the episodes. Now, once I get co-host, if it's in person, we will not sit in my closet together, because there simply would not be enough room, and that would be kind of weird. But I digress. I am looking forward to the format change, and I am very appreciative of everyone who has been here along the way. Stay tuned, though. It is Ask My 1-2-3 Cents, and then after that, we'll hear from WWE superstar Aleister Black.
It's time for school, but you're not going to be saved by this bell. Established in 2016, Stride Pro Wrestling trainers have put their years of experience to help train the next generation of professional wrestlers. Nearly a dozen students have graduated and are now making a name for themselves, not only here at Stride Pro Wrestling, but beyond. Our athletes aren't locked into any long-term contracts. So if you want to train, use your head and contact Stride Pro Wrestling today. It's training you'll flip for. So kick your future into high gear now.
Okay, so for Ask My 1-2-3 Cents this month, or this time around, I got a few really good, very thought-provoking questions, and I really am appreciative when I post up a topic like this that people actually do ask questions and want to hear my 1-2-3 cents, as it were, on whatever the topic or the subject may be. So I am going to go ahead without any further ado and load up the questions, and we're going to talk wrestling with first up Greg Mahochko, who I mentioned is he's the founder of the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. He asks, with the recent viewing of the WWF Invasion pay-per-view on 83 weeks, it had me wondering the following. If you were Vince McMahon and you wanted to secure one megastar from WCW, one who didn't come to work right away because of the Turner contracts, to solidify the Invasion angle, who would it be and why? That is a great question. And someone actually weighed in, Josh weighed in on this question as well. And we actually have the same answer. And for me, that would be Sting. I think that Sting, you know, obviously bringing Hogan and Hall and Nash, they eventually did come. Sting eventually came, but it was like 13 years later. So I think that there was still a lot of money to be made with Sting in 2001 in the WWE. I just feel like he was the face of WCW for that whole, especially during the Monday Night War era. You know, he never wavered. He never left and went to the WWF. He was there through, what I call surfer sting, or many of us call surfer sting, or beach bum sting, and then transitioning into the Crow. I personally liked the late 80s, early 90s sting better than the Crow stuff, and then way better than the Joker sting in TNA. But I think bringing Sting in to have that match that everyone seems to clamor for, even still today, against The Undertaker in 2001 would have been a solid matchup. You could have also had him in there against The Rock or against Stone Cold Steve Austin. It would have been interesting to see how they would have played him out, though, because most of the talent that came over during that quote-unquote invasion angle were either tweeners or they weren't high enough on the WCW roster that when they came to the WWF, they didn't get that pop. They didn't get that reaction, that the cheers. So it was easy to make the WCW group and the ECW group the heels in that equation. I don't know that they could have done that with Sting, and I think that maybe had they had some of the megastars, it wouldn't have been a quote-unquote invasion angle, and it would have just been more of a straight-up kind of dream match scenario where we're pitting some of WCW's top guys against some of the WWE's top guys, and you could have tweaked and massaged the way things worked out with that, and it's easy to play Tuesday morning booker or armchair quarterback, but Sting is definitely the guy that I would have picked and put into that role. Goldberg, I know some people would probably say, well, why not Goldberg? I just don't think, listen, everyone has their own taste, their own opinions, their own viewpoints of pro wrestling. For me, Goldberg, I never resonated. You know, we never connected. I don't hate the guy, but he was not someone that I clamored to see. And I don't necessarily even think it was because he was, because some would say he was a Stone Cold Steve Austin ripoff. I don't necessarily think that was the case either. I just never really saw him as a big deal. I just was not definitely not big enough a fan of him to, if I only had one choice to pull someone over from WCW in those early days of the buyout, it would definitely would have been Sting. And, eventually down the road, if we are going to do that ultimate Survivor Series match of sorts, Sting, Ric Flair, probably Diamond Dallas Page, Booker T, and maybe Goldberg. I don't know that I'd put Hogan in that situation because I always still, like Eric Bischoff said, Hogan was always, even though he was WCW for so long, he was WWF. I mean, he lived and breathed the WWE. And, I would have loved to have seen a Hogan versus Austin match. I think a lot of people wanted to see Goldberg versus Austin. Goldberg to me, and even in those, even today, he's just not a long match guy. And Austin wasn't per se either, but I think Austin could get in there and work. I don't know how an Austin-Goldberg match would have looked. But I think Sting would have definitely been the right choice there for sure. We have another question from Dalton Anthony. And this was if you thought that long answer was long-winded, wait till you get this one, because this is a very thought-provoking question from Dalton. And I appreciate it. Dalton, of course, is a wrestler with both Stride Pro Wrestling as well as Cape Girardeau Championship Wrestling, CCW. And speaking of Stride Pro Wrestling, big show coming up this Saturday night, August 3rd in Carterville. I meant to mention that earlier. So we would definitely appreciate your support coming out. You can go to strideprowrestling.com for those details. I'm sure Mr. Anthony will be over there as well. Now, Dalton asks, since you are doing a shuffle in your formatting, who would you make champion in WWE if you decided to strip everyone of their belts like WCW did when Russo took over? And I mean every belt on the main roster, including the cruiserweight. I went back and forth thinking about and debating this answer because part of me wants to. Okay, so I'm going to answer this question in the world of everyone who is on the roster, the main roster right now, and I consider that at WWE.com, whoever is listed there as an active participant on the current roster is game for this. There are 11 championships right now. The Universal, the WWE, the Intercontinental, the United States, the women's on Raw, the women's on SmackDown, the women's tag team, the Raw tag team, the SmackDown tag team, the Cruiserweight, and the 24/7 championship. So I'm going to reassign all of those champions. Now, I had debated clearing out and just making one main champion. So getting rid of the Universal title and just having a WWE championship, getting rid of one of the tag team titles and just having tag team champions, getting rid of one of the women's championships and just having one champion. And I actually am doing that, and I'll explain it in just a minute. But I don't think WWE has really gotten the brand split down to a science, especially this last go around. I personally like it better when it's both shows, you know, wrestlers could pop up, or if they do it as a brand split, they have to make it feel real and make it feel like a real brand split. My hope is with Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff moving into their roles, this will be a little bit more successful. I don't know. I'm not holding out hope for that. But since it's a podcast, since I'm fantasy booking, in the perfect world, this is what's going to happen. We are going to have very diverse rosters, very diverse shows. So Raw and SmackDown look like they are legitimately competing with each other, both under the WWE umbrella, of course. I mean, I don't think fans are naive enough to buy that there's an actual competition, but it's going to be, you're not going to see Roman Reigns on both shows. You're not going to see Braun Strowman on both shows. You're not going to see The New Day on both shows. If you're on a show, you're on a show, and that's where you stay. And that being said, I would also, because Eric Bischoff kind of has the experience with the Cruiserweights from Nitro many, many years ago, I'm putting 205 Live and the Cruiserweights on SmackDown exclusively, and I'm putting the women, all the women, exclusively on Monday Night Raw. Since there are 3 hours to fill there, I think the talent pool with the women would work. I think even putting SmackDown, you know, with SmackDown going to Fox, I think that, and they want a more athletic look to it, and I'm not saying the women aren't athletic, but, and I can also see where this plan would not work because they are going to want to see the women on SmackDown as well on Fox. So again, this is just my scenario, my 1-2-3 cents, if you will. And maybe we have exhibition matches. The women's championship is defended on SmackDown Live against one of the women as a specialty match, a feature match, if you will, once it moves to Fox. But hear me out. Here's where I'm going. So for the Universal Championship, and I debated and I went back and forth, and I like Bobby Lashley a lot, and I actually had him first as my pick, but I've changed it because the way I'm going to stack Raw is this. AJ Styles is your Universal Champion. Finn Balor becomes the Intercontinental Champion, because I think that the Intercontinental title, I really want to see it go back to that previous glory that it had in the 80s. And I know that it's harder today because of so much programming, but the Intercontinental title has been viewed for a long time as the worker's belt. Not to say that AJ Styles as the Universal Champion is obviously in a worker situation, but I'm also going to put the tag team titles on the OC, Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson. So we effectively, and there have been rumors and whatnot of Finn Balor joining the club. I'm going to call him the club, the OC. So that way you have almost a four horsemen style situation where the heels are running roughshod and they're all this faction. All of them hold the gold. And I would keep it that way for a while before eventually splitting Finn Balor and AJ Styles and having them battle over the Universal Championship. But I think that I really would like to see Finn Balor kind of restore, and I know he just lost the Intercontinental title, but I would like to see him back in that hunt, that situation as well. Now, I mentioned moving the women's all to one show. Here's what I'm doing with that. I am going to eliminate the women's tag team championships. I personally do not think there are enough women on the WWE roster to justify tag team championships, because look at how the Iconics, there have been very few title defenses. Someone gets hurt, you're pulling too many, there's too many factors in that situation. So I'm getting rid of the women's tag team championships, and instead now I'm adding another women's singles championship, the women's intercontinental title, who Ember Moon would be that champion. And Charlotte Flair would be my women's champion. I think that Becky Lynch is an amazing performer. I think I like her more in that chasing the gold role, that Stone Cold Steve Austin-esque character where she doesn't give a damn and she's just kind of going after the anointed second generation superstar, the queen, Charlotte Flair, who I think can play that heel role so very, very well. And you keep Becky kind of in that tweener role where she defies authority and continues to go after Charlotte, despite the fact that they at one time were the best of friends. For the SmackDown side of things, I think I got everybody on Raw, the 24/7 championship. I'm going to go with EC3. I feel like EC3 has been overlooked a lot. The 24/7 championship, I know a lot of people have shit on it and don't like it. They think it's dumb. Whether USA has encouraged that belt to happen, I think it's given a lot of the B and C level characters a chance to at least be on and run around and be showcased to an extent. So to me, I don't look at that as a bad thing. I think there is a lot of talent on the roster. Going through and trying to pick these champions, there's a lot of talent on that roster that we're not seeing on a regular basis. And I don't watch Main Event. And so, you know, I want to see everyone at least have a little chance to shine and to get that opportunity. Because I think there's a lot of guys and women there that don't even have the opportunity to show what they can do. Unless it's at a house show or, you know, it's on a show that people aren't necessarily watching or watching as intently. So that's my Raw side of things. So again, Universal Champion is AJ Styles. My Intercontinental Champion is Finn Balor. The Tag Team Champions are the OC. The 24/7 Champion is EC3. You've got your Women's Heavyweight champion now, or women's champion rather, as Charlotte Flair, and then Ember Moon is your women's intercontinental champion. Tag team champions for the women, out the window. Let's hop over to SmackDown Live now, where WWE champion is Daniel Bryan. I loved Daniel Bryan's heel run as the champion. Didn't last nearly long enough. Go back to this new Daniel Bryan with the sustainable championship belt. I am a huge, huge Daniel Bryan fan, whether he's a good guy or a bad guy. The guy, to me, is amazing, and I really would like to see him in that role once again as the champion and kind of leading the way. And I realize that most of these champions that I've picked are bad guys, but I would put the United States Championship on my guest this week, and that is Aleister Black. He has a huge upside. I know there are a lot of people that are pulling for him, and I think that his current feud with Cesaro is just priming him for the next level, and I think that Cesaro is someone that could be in that hunt, and I think Cesaro could be in the hunt for the WWE Championship as well. I would definitely be putting some more spotlight on him as well. And then on the SmackDown side for the Tag Team Champions, I'm going to put them on the Bludgeon Brothers, bringing them back into the fold. I know that Luke Harper is unhappy, but he is still currently under contract. I think that the tag team scene, I really debated eliminating and just doing one set of Tag Team Champions. I think by my count, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I count 11 tag teams right now, and some of those, half of the members are out injured. The Hardy Boys, for example, I believe the Ascension, I don't know if both members of the Ascension are back into the game. Authors of Pain has one of its members out still. And then that also includes, like, the pairing of Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel. You know, I have those guys included in this mix as well. I think the Bludgeon Brothers, actually there's 12 because I didn't count the Bludgeon Brothers originally with this. And I know Eric Rowan just recently had his run with Daniel Bryan. I just think that it's time to, you know, they're both healthy now, Rowan and Harper. Let's execute and let's go back to what they were before they got hurt and had to vacate. I don't remember if they had to vacate the titles or if they actually lost them and then the injury happened. But bringing them back as a tag team, I think, would be a good thing to do as well. And then, as I mentioned, I'm moving the Cruiserweights over to SmackDown Live. And to kind of spice that division up a bit, I'm going to put the Cruiserweight Championship on Ricochet. And I think that I definitely don't want to take him out of contention for the United States or for the WWE Championship. And I think in the next couple of years, that will be more of a reality for him, the WWE Championship, that is. We've already seen him have a short run as U.S. Champion. But I think bringing Ricochet to the Cruiserweights, not to say that the Cruiserweights aren't exciting now, but he could add a little flavor to that. And we also do some more storytelling in that division. I like what they're doing with Mike Kanellis and Maria, but spice things up a little bit more, make it more storyline driven, as well as the great wrestling action, which I think they're going to be able to tell better stories if they're on SmackDown and getting that exposure, and not just one or two. You know, if they even had two or three matches each week on SmackDown Live, and then, you know, you still have your championships. I know I'm trying to squeeze a lot into SmackDown Live, and maybe moving the Cruiserweights over there would not work. Again, I'm armchair, and this is why I don't do this as a profession. I am a fan with a passion for it, but that's kind of how I would set things up. The last question is from Chad, who saw it on Twitter, a discussion that went on, and I did not see the actual debate or the discussion, but the bottom line is, should wrestlers live their gimmick 24/7, or should they just play a character during a show? Now, Jim Cornette was part of this discussion. I can only assume that Jim Cornette is, and again, I'm assuming, I'm speculating, that Jim Cornette is a proponent for keeping in character at all times. You know, back in the day, they were able to do that because there wasn't this connectivity that we have with Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, where you see your favorite pro wrestlers, not only what they're doing in the ring, not only their training, but you're seeing them at home. You're seeing them on the road. You're seeing them at the hotel. You're seeing them at Comic-Con or going out to eat or whatever it may be. We have complete access, and some would argue that that has killed the business and has diminished it. And others would say, you know, it's giving us another layer of fandom. And I'm torn. You know, I don't think that it needs to be to the extreme of where, you know, The Undertaker shows up at Applebee's wearing his, cloak and, you know, the purple gloves and the eye makeup and all that. And of course, I'm talking 1990s Undertaker, but I don't think the gimmick has to be 24/7. But I also understand where some fans don't necessarily want to see, you know, two bitter rivals, for example, Bray Wyatt and Mick Foley, posing for pictures on Instagram after what had happened at Raw, at the Raw reunion. You know, I can't imagine if social media had been around in the 80s, you know, the mega powers are exploding, but Hogan and Savage are, you know, kicking back with their wives and having a beer together, and we're seeing those pictures on Instagram, or Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes are having a steak dinner after, you know, beating the shit out of each other at Starrcade. So it's a hard question to answer because I think there's a happy medium. I don't think it has to be so regimented, but I also want to see a little realism because, you know, then you get into, well, should Daniel Radcliffe only be Harry Potter? Well, no, because obviously he plays different characters. He's an actor. And you draw these comparisons sometimes too, because to me, when people say wrestling is fake, I say, well, if that is your stance, so are your movies, so are your TV shows. None of that is real. They're all performers, but our performers are 24/7, are 365. They, you know, very rarely do we see a character change unless it's somebody going to another company or if they, you know, reinvent a gimmick or try to change up someone. So, you know, I do want to do a more in-depth episode on this, but like Dustin Rhodes, you know, he was Goldust for so long and now he's Dustin Rhodes, but Dustin Rhodes in AEW paints his face still like Goldust did, but just a different color. That's really not Dustin Rhodes. Dustin Rhodes, as I remember him, was, you know, 1993, 94, 95, WCW The Natural, you know. I guess the short answer is no, I don't think they have to live the gimmick 24/7. I think it helps, but I think in today's environment, today's day and age, and again, I'm a 46-year-old fan, I am not in any demographic that any wrestling company is looking for. These younger fans, you know, look at AEW, and I'll be interested to see October, November, December, how the fans who are just preaching AEW left and right and how it's going to be the death nail for WWE. I'll be curious to see because things are going to change, I think, once there's a weekly TV show on. We'll wait and see. I could be eating these words at the first of the year, but we'll wait and see. And we'll keep an eye on things. But I appreciate the questions. I appreciate you listening, and I hope you stick around. Aleister Black is coming up next.
Hey, this is Double J, Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast.
And you have obviously, you know, you're new to the main roster on WWE, but you have obviously had the experience at NXT with winning the championship there, and then your background in other companies and martial arts. So tell me a little bit about the differences between being a part of that main show, Raw, SmackDown, versus NXT, and then even versus your time when you spent on the independents.
Sure. Well, you know, I couldn't have one without the other. That goes without saying. I needed my independence career to get to NXT. I needed NXT to get to the main roster. All of those have given me my tools in order for me to survive and adapt on the main roster. Because Raw and SmackDown, it's the real deal. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Everything I've done before, including NXT and Indian events, I have always treated as a real deal, too. And that's why I was able to get to the main roster. It's been a crazy ride. And, you know, the differences, the funny thing is, there are so many fundamental differences, but at the same time, it's the exact same thing to the point where we go out there and we perform, we go out there, we compete, we go out there and we just, you know, we tear it up. You do that on the independents, you do that in NXT, you do that on the main roster. You know, the attitude doesn't change, the production changes, the professionalism changes, but the attitude always stays the same.
So it's fair to say that you have to have that hunger, that desire from the get-go to make it to where you are and then maintain that to keep your spot, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely, because, like, I mean, I assume that you are a fan of professional wrestling and, you know, any form of, like, entertainment, even, like, sure, acting and stuff like that. It's a world that is, like, very fast, very rapid, people come and go, and you're going to have to continuously adapt and come up with new things in order to stay ahead of the curve or stay relevant. So, like I said, everything I've done in independent NXT has allowed me to continuously recreate myself, revamp myself, and change up in order for me to become, you know, this entity that I am now within WWE.
Absolutely, and I am a fan. I've been watching since 1982, and actually am a ring announcer for an indie company here in Southern Illinois and in the Cape Girardeau as well. So I always enjoy these opportunities for sure. Now, you talked about, that grind, or not really so much of that, but I do know that SmackDown Live, for example, as we're recording this, you guys are in Miami, and you're going to be making your way to the Midwest here by the end of the week. So talk to me a little bit about the rigors of the road, the travel. How do you guys stay in shape, continue to eat well? You know, how do you guys maintain all that?
Well, you know, a lot of it is planning. A lot of it is just understanding that there's a certain pattern to what we're doing. Obviously, travel a lot, as you said yourself, and even that goes for independent wrestling. So, you know, you travel a lot, so you get to the town, you make sure you know where your gyms are, you know where your hotel is, you get to your hotel, you drop your stuff, you quickly get like, okay, I got an hour, get a 45-minute workout, you shower, quickly head up to the arena, do the show, get dressed, head out again, and you kind of keep doing the same thing along the road. You know which stores you can get to, where you can get food that is, like, helpful for your physique or helpful for your recovery. Every once in a while, there'll be a town that has like a sports masseuse. They have a cryogenic bath. You can kind of get an ice bath, and you know what I mean. So you kind of pick and choose. You become smarter and wiser with it. To keep doing this, to become better at it.
Well, you have certainly been making a big name for yourself on SmackDown Live as well as on Raw after debuting earlier this year. Talk to me a little bit about making that appearance at WrestleMania. You know, I can't imagine all that work that goes into where you get to, but then that WrestleMania moment for you had to be incredible.
It was. It's like, you know, it's funny that you say that, because, like, it just reminded me of it. And for some reason, you know, when you're in that grind, you're in that state, you're in that windmill, you just keep on going and going and going and going. And sometimes you don't even realize what it is that you're doing. And not until a few weeks or a few months or sometimes a few hours later do you realize what it is that you exactly have done. And I remember standing there backstage about to go out, and I look at Ricochet, who I, you know, was a phenomenal, out of this world good. And we're looking at each other, we just share this moment, and we're like, you know, we did this, man. We're about to do this. How insane is this? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For some kid from Kentucky to come all the way to the WWE and being in that match in WrestleMania, and for myself, some dude from Amsterdam, you know, and I think what it is that you can never be satisfied. Never settle down. Never be content with what you're doing. Just keep on pushing. Keep on going. And then, like, a moment is WrestleMania. I remember saying to myself, well, if I'm not ready now, which was at that time was, you know, 16, 17 years of doing this, if I'm not ready now, I'm never going to be ready. So what is it going to be, sink or swim?
Yeah.
And I chose to swim, you know what I mean? And that's the attitude that you got to have. And, you can say it's not a day in the job, and to an extent that is true, because that's also a really good way of surviving it, you know, mentally, because it's very taxing. Still out of pressure. I mean, it's only goddamn WrestleMania. You know my language there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you just go. You just do it. You don't think. You just do it. Don't overthink it. You know who you are. You know what you do. You know what you're there for. You know how you look like. You know how the fans perceive you. Go out there and do what you do best.
Now,
that's literally all it is.
And obviously, you know, your ability in the ring stands out. But two other things that I think make you a unique superstar: your entrance and all the tattoos. So can you talk to me about those two things real quick? I know we're running low on time.
No, it's okay. So my tattoos stem from the fact that I've always had a fascination for tattoo culture. Ever since I was 8 years old, I saw this documentary on tattoo, and I told my mom, when I'm 7 years old, I'm going to get all my tattoos. And my mom was like, yeah, sure. Fast forward 10, 15 years later, and I have a sleeve. My mom goes, oh, you weren't kidding about that, huh? So and the ball kind of kept rolling, and it kind of went hand in hand with my wrestling, but it was never that I got tattooed because of the wrestling. I got tattooed because I love tattoo culture. Most of my friends are tattoo artists, and I just love that scene. It's like it's a big part of my life. Like, I, you know, growing up, also a lot of time spent, like, you know, like going to hardcore shows, metal shows, black metal shows, and, you know, in those alternative scenes, you know, tattooing has always been a big thing to express yourself. And yeah, it just really became a part of me, and then kind of that world kind of spilled over into my wrestling world, because a lot of stuff that I do has to do with black metal, it has to do with hardcore, it has to do with that alternative scene, it has to do with tattoo culture, and all the little elements that I use influence from that blended in really nicely into my character, and that is what you see now before you. And the same with the entrance, like the entrance is something new, and you can't help but when my entrance comes, the one thing that it does, it draws eyes on it. Mm-hmm. That's the point of an entrance. You know, you can come out and people will look at you, but you can come out and you can demand attention. And I feel that what I do with my entrance, in my humble opinion, is draw attention, draw all the eyes on me, and people go, wow, that's different. You know, and I have to thank WWE for that, because they made all that come true.
Aleister Black, thank you so much for your time and what you do in the ring and to entertain us fans. Anything else you want to add as we wrap things up?
I just want people to come in. I want people to experience what I experienced, because I'm still sitting there backstage watching it as if we're fans. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I've never lost that passion. I want people to share that passion. I want people to come in and see the exact same thing that I'm seeing and going, wow, I just saw something truly unique. And I saw something that I've always wanted to see. Because nothing is more fun than live WWE, live sports entertainment, live pro wrestling. It is the most fun. Whether that's like the biggest league in the world or smallest, it is something truly unique, and I stand by that.
Absolutely. Very well said. Thank you again so much for your time. I appreciate it. Have a good rest of your tour, and we'll see you Sunday.
See you Sunday, man. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, friends, that is episode 246. I do, again, appreciate everyone being a part of this and joining the ride. And again, if you want to be a part of future episodes, let me know. Hit me up on Facebook. Be sure to like the Facebook page. Share this episode with others. And let me know where your interest lies. Shoot me a direct message or hit me up on Twitter. You know, you can find at Jittery Monkey. You can find me at my 123 cents, or of course my name at Kevin Huntsberger. And there's Instagram. I try to make things a little different over on those channels as well. Thanks everyone so much for listening. Have a great week, and we'll talk again soon.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.